Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Job chapter 7. Job chapter 7. Job is speaking, and you'll remember the things that he's been through, the miserable condition he's in physically and emotionally. His circumstances have been devastating. He's lost all of his children, all of his fortune. He's in a miserable state. This is one of the chapters of material where Job speaks. Job chapter 7, this is God's word. "Does not man have hard service on earth? Are not his days like those of a hired man? Like a slave longing for the evening shadows, or a hired man waiting eagerly for his wages, so I have been allotted months of futility, and nights of misery have been assigned to me. When I lie down, I think, how long before I get up? The night drags on, and I toss till dawn. My body is clothed with worms and scabs. My skin is broken and festering. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and they come to an end without hope. Remember, O God, that my life is but a breath. My eyes will never see happiness again. The eye that now sees me will see me no longer. You will look for me, but I will be no more. As a cloud vanishes and is gone, so he who goes down to the grave does not return. He will never come to his house again. His place will know him no more. Therefore, I will not keep silent. I will speak out in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Am I the sea or the monster of the deep that you put me under guard? When I think my bed will comfort me and my couch will ease my complaint, even then you frighten me with dreams and terrify me with visions, so that I prefer strangling and death rather than this body of mine. I despise my life. I would not live forever. Let me alone. My days have no meaning. What is man that you make so much of him, that you give him so much attention, that you examine him every morning and test him every moment? Will you never look away from me or let me be alone even for an instant? If I have sinned, what have I done to you, O watcher of men? Why have you made me your target? Have I become a burden to you? Why do you not pardon my offenses and forgive my sins? For I will soon lie down in the dust. You will search for me, but I will be no more." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, so you say, Pastor, that this is God's holy and inspired word. It sounds to me like a pretty despairing view of life. All Scripture is God-breathed. And that means we have in Scripture a perfect, flawless, trustworthy record of everything that was said. It doesn't mean that everything everybody says is right. Here we have a perfect, inspired record of what Job said. It doesn't mean that if you just pull chapter 7 out, that is the way we're supposed to view life. Some parts of what he says, all of us can relate to. Other parts of what he said, some of us have a hard time relating to. And some of what he says is just not true. Well, can you give me an example, Pastor, of what he says that's not true? Well, he says that a person who dies is not going to rise again. He says that when you die and you go into the ground, that's it. Verse 9, as a cloud vanishes and is gone, so he who goes down to the grave does not return. That was what Job felt. That was what Job believed. That was what Job expected. And you know what else? He believed that he would never see happiness again. Verse 7. Look at verse 7. Remember, O God, that my life is but a breath. My eyes will never see happiness again. That's what he believed. That's what he said, and this is a perfect record of it. But do you know what? Job would see happiness again. When we get to the end of the book of Job, he is marvelously blessed. Remember those 10 children he had who got killed? God gave him 10 more. Remember all those flocks and herds that he had that got destroyed? God gave him greater flocks and herds, more than he had before. Remember that wife who made his life miserable? She was still there. But the fact of the matter is, Job didn't know what was coming. He just knew how he felt in the moment. And you and I need to realize that very often, our perspective on the present is distorted because we don't know the future. And if we could see the present in light of what God says about the future, we wouldn't get so wrought up about the present. We'd realize that indeed, time goes on and things change, and God can take ashes and make something beautiful.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. This program is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. You can hear Pastor Wood's teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at pastorwood.org. And when you visit pastorwood.org, we would greatly appreciate it if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and, if possible, also make a donation to this ministry. So please visit pastorwood.org today or give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, look at what Job says here about the way he's feeling. He compares himself to a slave longing for the evening shadows. In other words, when can I stop working? Or a hired man eagerly waiting for his wages. Where is my reward? And he says, so I have been allotted months of futility. The word futility means something that's useless. He feels like there's no point in what he's doing. I'm doing stuff. I'm working hard here, but there's no benefit. Nothing comes of it. I've been allotted months of futility and nights of misery have been assigned to me. When I lie down, I think, how long before I get up? The night drags on, and I toss till dawn. Have you ever had a sleepless night? I have. It's miserable. Job had night after night, not being able to rest, not being able to sleep. And verse 5 says, my body is clothed with worms and scabs. My skin is broken and festering. We said before, that the sores on his body were on the bottoms of his feet and the tops of his feet and on his legs, all over his body, even up to the top of his head. Imagine that. Festering wounds, horrible, scabby, oozing wounds. Is that sick enough? It was disgusting, even to him. Job was miserable. And yet, verse 6, he says, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. That means the day, in one sense, goes by quickly. But look at the next phrase. And they come to an end without hope. That's the miserable thing. He doesn't anticipate anything getting any better. Just day after day after day after day, no hope at the end of the day. Remember, O God, that my life is but a breath. My eyes will never see happiness again. The eye that now sees me will see me no longer. You will look for me, but I will be no more. That's the refrain at the end of verse 21 as well. For I will soon lie down in the dust. You will search for me, but I will be no more. What a hopeless, despairing point of view. But can you blame him? Do you think it would have been good if somebody had come along and said, hey now, turn that frown upside down. Let's get a smile. That's not going to help him a bit. He was in misery. The smartest thing that his friends said during the time that they spent with him was nothing. Sometimes the smartest thing you and I can say is nothing. You say, well, I'm afraid if I don't say anything, people think I don't care. Well, that's not good, is it? But if you open your mouth, they're liable to realize you haven't got a clue. So sometimes just being there and being quiet is the best thing. But Job says about his own situation, verse 11, therefore I will not keep silent. I will speak out in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Look at verse 17. What is man that you make so much of him? He's talking to God. What is man that you make so much of him, that you give him so much attention, that you examine him every morning and test him every moment? Will you never look away from me or let me alone even for an instant? He is aware that God knows what's going on with him. Sometimes people feel like God doesn't see me. Job says, I know you do see me. You watch my ways. He was right about that. But God was pleased with him, and he thought God was angry with him. He was wrong about that. Remember what we said in lesson one? You don't know what's going on. Job thought, like his friends thought, that God was punishing him. God wasn't punishing him. This was not punishment. It was painful, but it wasn't punishment. We often don't know what's going on. But God is always at work on behalf of those who love him, turning all things for our good. And we've got to cling to that when it's hard to go through what we're going through. So Job says, God, please just look away for a while. Just, I wish you didn't watch me so closely. Now, is that a good perspective? No, but it's understandable. We can understand why he would feel that way, but it wasn't right. And so God eventually is going to respond after all of his friends have completely failed. God is going to respond to Job's request for an audience with God. Because part of it, Job's saying, you know, leave me alone. Part of it saying, God, why won't you let me talk to you? And then he also says, I don't know what to say to you because you're you. I mean, you're God. And If I try to defend myself before you, even if I'm innocent, I'm going to condemn myself. That's what he says at one point. I'm at the mercy of God. You want to know the truth? We're at the mercy of God. That part is right. So God responds, and I absolutely love this. Chapter 38. Job chapter 38. Take a look. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set, or who laid its cornerstone, while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its darkness and wrapped it in thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place, when I said, 'This far you may come and no farther. Here is where your proud waves halt.' Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place that it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? The earth takes shape like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their light and their upraised arm is broken. Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. What is the way to the abode of light, and where does darkness reside? Can you take them to their places? Do you know the paths to their dwellings? Surely you know, for you were already born. You've lived so many years." I'm going to pause there and make sure that you notice God sometimes engages in sarcasm even with those he loves. And sometimes, in its proper setting, sarcasm can be a wonderful tool, a great way of teaching. "Surely you know, you're so old. You were surely around when I was making everything, weren't you?" The point of that is, you have been here a very short time. You don't know nearly what you think you know, and you're talking to God, Job. You're talking to God. "Have you entered the storehouses of the snow," verse 22, "or seen the storehouses of the hail, which I reserve for times of trouble, for days of war and battle? What is the way to the place where the lightning is dispersed, or the place where the east winds are scattered over the earth? Who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain and a path for the thunderstorm, to water a land where no man lives, a desert with no one in it, to satisfy a desolate wasteland and make it sprout with grass? Does the rain have a father? Who fathers the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice? Who gives birth to the frost from the heavens, when the waters become hard as stone, when the surface of the deep is frozen?" Chapter after chapter, God is going to go on talking about nature in a very beautiful and poetic way. This is not a scientific treatise. It is a magnificent poem describing the mysteries of creation. And God saying, "Look, I did all this, and you don't know as much as you think." God's word is perfect, and it rightly declares that the creation is the result of a creator. And the evidence of that is everywhere, everywhere. The reason why many people want to try and exclude God from the process is because they don't want to have to answer to God. If they accept the obvious, and that is that there is a designer, then suddenly they're going to have to answer to the designer. Well, guess what? Even if they don't accept that, they're going to have to answer to the designer. Because God isn't waiting around to see if he wins the election. He's God. After God confronted Job, that was not the end of the story. God confronted him, and Job repented. And Job hadn't messed up as badly as his friends. And God tells Job, I want you to pray for your friends. They thought they knew what was going on, and they were wrong. They thought they were defending God by falsely accusing someone else. They were wrong. But God knew exactly what was going on and was not angry with Job or punishing Job. He was displaying his glory. And if that is offensive to us, we need to repent. This life is so short, we're going to spend forever either in heaven with our Lord or in hell. And in that eternal state, the events of this life will seem so small. They will seem so brief. We can't imagine. I want to encourage you today to realize that whatever you're going through and however miserable it may be sometimes, it is temporary. Whatever you go through is temporary. Our problem is we tend to get totally focused on this, failing to believe what God says about this. And then we lose all perspective. Job ends up, take a look at it. Job, by the way, repents. He responds by saying, I'm so sorry. And then the Lord made him prosperous again. Gave him twice as much, this is 42, verse 10. Gave him twice as much as he had before. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought upon him, and each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. And the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The first daughter he had, he named Jemima, the second Keziah, the third Keren-Hapuk. Nowhere in all the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters. And their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. And after this, Job lived 140 years, and he saw his children and their children to the fourth generation. And so he died old and full of years. Things may be going beautifully for you right now. Well, trouble may be down the road. Things may be really tough for you right now. Well, don't think that it has to be that way forever. It doesn't. God blessed Job. And even though we remember him for his suffering, most of his life was not like that. The time before and the time after, much longer. Much longer. And the blessings after the suffering, much greater than the blessings before. I hope that when you think of the life of Job, you will be encouraged, not afraid.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.